would like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's time to take time for Jesus again, and we're just happy to report that the good news is still good news, that the Lord Jesus Christ is still the one that we can call upon in time of trouble, even when we don't have any troubles. You need to call upon him and worship him in spirit and in truth. My friends out there, wherever you may be, under the sound of our voice, and you hear that it, the only way that we are going to survive and make it into the kingdom of God is through that wonderful name of Jesus. If you recall back in the Acts of the Apostles there in the book of Acts, when Peter and John was called upon the name of the Lord, they healed a man called that was lame from his mother's womb there at the gate called Beautiful. And they was brought in there and by the high priest of the synagogue at that time, a bunch of hypocrites, if you want to know the truth about it, that they forbid them to call or to even preach or in the name of Jesus. For it brought a reproach against them because they was the one that hollered the loudest for them, for Pilate to crucify him. And all, and these things, Lord, there's come to be that we understand that these things had to be in order for you and I to be brought in. So being as a Gentile, so you may be, or I know that I am because I was not born a Jew, and you wasn't born a Jew, then you're a Gentile. I don't care what part of the world you came from or what you may call yourself otherwise. In God's sight, there's only two sets of people, the Jews and the Gentiles. There was many names of other nations, but they were still Gentiles. My friend, it's come to the time that where one preacher used to say, a fellow by the name of McGee used to say, it's time when the rubber hits the road. We need to understand that we're living close to the time of the return of our Lord. I don't know the day and an hour, and a man tells you that he does or he predicts it and everything. He don't know what he's talking about. So be aware of those false prophets that comes along. Many comes in the name of the Lord. Many comes and said that they are the Messiah and so on and so forth. And there will be signs and things being given closer to the end time that the devil would even bring down, the false prophets rather, would even bring down fire out of the of heaven to in front of people to deceive them. So be aware and be careful about the things that are happening, and these some people are calling miracles, because God does things for his benefit and for your benefit, not just for show or just to be doing something other. It's all that he does. It does it for yours and my benefit, as well as for his glory and praise. So be careful, my friends, and let God lead and direct you. That's why I encourage you to read your Bible. Now, anybody that tells you that you don't need the Bible, read the Bible, they will read it and they'll interpret it for you. It would run you out of your mind and crazy. He's a liar and the truth ain't in him. I don't care who he is or where he come from, what denomination he calls himself or whatever, he's a liar. It will not, even to a person that was a lower education as I am. It ain't run me crazy, but it's brought my attention to many things that are happening around the world today. As we read today on the news there, the earthquake over there, 5.8 over there in Montana, then there was one over there in the Philippines about the same. And all this has happened in the last day or two, my friend. And that volcano that's under the Yellowstone National Park covers up several states. And if it goes up and everything, they say that it will wipe out a lot of the United States. And if it does what they say it does, if it's like they say it does, it's going to take out a bunch of territory anyway. Well, my friends, we're living now close to the end time, and these things are happening. The Bible speaks about the signs in the heavens, the earth, and the sea beneath. So they're there. Just yesterday, they claimed that they found that there's supposed to be an iceberg going to break off of the up there out of the Arctic place up there where all that ice is piled up at and everything, that it, piece of it's going to break off as big as Delaware, the whole state. Well, that's a pretty good hunk of ice there, my friend. No telling what kind of damage it'll do, but these things are just fulfilling of the signs that God said that was going to happen. These things were spoke up long ago, but men have gotten so dull to the hearing and so apt of doing everything else that they want to do, fulfilling the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and out to make a dollar no matter how it is or how what it does to get it. And they love come to pleasure, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and they ignoring these things simply because they do not believe on the Almighty God. They don't believe in the Word of God. That's why I encourage you to read the Word of God. Not just look at it and glance through it, but read it carefully, asking God to give you some understanding of it, and He will. He'll give you understanding and the ability to rightfully divide it and bring it forth to where it would mean something to you and cause you to know that there is a God that loves you enough that He died for you and He is still loves you and He's prepared a way for the escape of the things that is going to yet come upon the world. He's already got it all planned and it's all going to happen according to His plan. There's nothing you or I, the Pope or nobody else, the President or anybody can do to change the fact that God's word is going to be fulfilled to the last dot of the I and the last cross of the T. It's going to happen, my friend. It's happening around and about us, and we need to understand. And the only understanding you could get is by those that will preach the word of truth and you by you reading the word of God and believing what it says, because it's all there. Matthew 24 tells you about these things. Mark talks about it, and Luke also talks about it. It's in the prophets of old. They spoke about it, and these things are being fulfilled today. It's not somewhere down 1,000 years from now, but it's today. We're living in perilous times, as Timothy speaks about, that the perilous times are here upon us. You look around and how many people are going down the street minding their own business. Some nut comes by and starts shooting for no reason at all. So if that's not perilous times, my friend, I don't know. But it's going to wax worse. But it's come to the time to where we need to make sure that our election and the promise that God has gave us is given unto us, and God is on your side. You need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. You just don't go join the church of the living God. You're born into it. As He told Nicodemus, that you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Joining all these denominations that calls it there, some of them says they're the only church and you can't get to the kingdom of God or get into heaven unless you got your name on their book. That's false teaching, my friend. It's a doctrine that of devils and things like that to fool you and to bring you and stray you from the truth. You're born into the church of the living God. And He's not spoke about no denominations. He only speaks about the church of the living God, which you don't join it. You're born into it. And that's what He's coming back after. The saints, the born again, the Christian people, them that stands the test, them that are prepared to go and meet their Lord, them that have asked Him to forgive them of their sins and done a 180-degree turn and walking no longer in the sin, turning aside from the things of the world but worshiping the Spirit of truth. In God we trust. According to our money, it's there. But the nation is not really trusting in God anymore. They come around trusting in the almighty dollar, but they don't trust that the things that's on it. That in God we trust. There's many people today has no respect for God. They're not teaching the proper things of God, for there's many false prophets around today. And if you look into your word of God, that Jesus Himself told us in Matthew, He said, be aware of false teachings and prophets. They'll come in sheep's clothing, but inward they are ravaging wolves. There's a lot of false teaching going on out there, my friend. that teach you one thing and the other. Some of them will try to teach you that they can teach you how to speak in that heavenly language. That's false teaching. No man can teach you that. That comes directly by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. But there's many people that have been treated. No wonder that some people don't want to hear it. They don't want to have it simply because it's so much of it been going on in the last few years that is not God. So be aware of these things. Read your Bible. Find out what God has to say about these false teachers and preachers and one thing or another, and let God lead and direct you in the ways of righteousness for his name's sake and for the salvation of your soul. It's only one way we can get there. One church, one doctrine. No, these things are come to about what he spoke about to the apostles and the apostolic teachings and the apostle doctrine. It's not this denomination or that denomination. It's being faithful to God, being born again, and receiving of his Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. My friend, the denomination, you can have your name on everything from here to yonder and wherever back again, and be baptized in every river beyond here and wherever. And if you ain't baptized in the proper way, as according to Acts 2:38, and got your names on the Lamb's Book of Life, the rest of it is not going to do you any good. Because there's only one true way, and biblically speaking, that is the way that we should go. Not by every wind of doctrine, by every teaching that comes down the road, by every man or woman or whosoever it might be that comes and says, I am this and I am that. Let them be proven by the Word of God. And if it don't come up to match up with God's Word, then just put him aside. Don't have no dealings with them according to the Bible. That they come preaching another gospel, let him be accursed. There's only one gospel, and Paul said there's only one foundation that was laid, and that was Jesus Christ and him crucified, and no other foundation can be laid. Jesus told them there, when you build your house, you build it on the solid foundation. Jesus is the foundation for the church. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. But many men have went and built cathedrals and everything, whether or not it's a real thing or not, I'm not the judge of it, but one day God, the true judge, is going to judge all this stuff, and he is the one that's going to make the difference. That's why I'm telling you, read your Bible, find out what the Word of God has to say about a lot of this stuff that's going on in the world today, and you won't go astray, my friend. Calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation is the only way you're going to make it. It's the only way I can make it, and it's the only way anyone can make it. Through the door, Jesus said, I am the door, the truth, the way, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And when somebody comes and tries to tell you that they are Christ here on earth, like the Pope does, and he's able to forgive sin, and he give his priest permission to forgive sin, that's not biblical truth, my friend. It's all false teachings and doctrine. No man, nobody can forgive sin except God. Jesus Christ and him crucified for yours and my sins. But if they want to teach that stuff and you want to believe it, you're going to go down into the pit with them, because the Bible says that they, all the false teachers and prophets and these things, will be cast into the lake of fire with the devil and all of his angels. Mm-hmm. So it's your decision. I'm trying to tell you the truth to bring you forth there and warn you about these things. If you're not willing to take heed, because I ain't got my name in lights and all over the universe and known by the known people, and you don't take heed, that's your problem, my friend. All I'm obligated to do is to warn you as a watchman on the wall, that to tell you about the things that's coming and help you be prepared that you might meet the Lord at the time that his return comes. You meet him in peace and not hear him say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. Well, my wife's got something other here, and I'm going to let her have that, and then we'll go further with it while I get some more scripture ready there. So here's my wife, Sister Sarah.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm so glad that I know who my Jesus is. He's the only one that can help you in this world. No matter what you're going through, you turn to Him. But I want to thank those that have taken time out from their busy day to email us. You don't know what that means to us when we get an email and say we were listening. And it doesn't make any difference if it's here in the States or if it's foreign land or wherever it is. We know the word's getting out. It says that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We can't go into all the world physically, but we're reaching out spiritually, and we pray for all of you. I don't care what state you're in, what country you're in. God knows where His people are. But I want to share with you 1 minute to midnight. In Acts 2 and 20, the sun shall be turned unto darkness and the moon into blood before that great and noble day of the Lord. The midnight hour is upon us, the long foretold hour of darkness unparalleled in the world's history. One by one, the lights are going out. Church attendance, observance of the Lord's Day, legal restraint on social evils such as abortion and gambling, growing immorality, which is homosexual, you know that, internet and cable TV pornography, and loss of marital faithfulness. Dark, foreboding, and fearful. Midnight is close upon us. Luke 21 and 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Worldwide calamities, international terrorism, revolutions, and epidemics. All these are like the sounds of many bells ringing out the advance notes before the striking of the midnight hour. The darkest night in world's history is coming upon us. Please, do not let it take you by surprise. The Bible has warned us. History has taught us the utter futility of the feverish efforts of sinful man to save himself. It was for this purpose that God sent His beloved Son, Jesus, to die on a cross as a willing and perfect sacrifice. It is the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin and saves us from an eternity in hell. If you are a Christian, the midnight hour is near. Rejoice and faint not and hold on. Let fear be gone. The great hour for which you have waited is long about to strike. The King, long absent, for whom your loving hearts have secretly mourned at the mention of His name, whose heart, their hearts have oft-times leaped for joy. The King is on His way. Blessed midnight hour, hour of hope, hour of joy, hour of gladness. For the King is the Bridegroom, and the Bridegroom is your Savior. Awake, arise from the dust, shake from your garments all the soiling contacts of a fallen world. Wipe away your tears, lift up your eyes to the shining of the glorious Sun of Righteousness. Wait patiently for a little while longer, and the hour shall strike, the midnight hour of gladness and of joy, when you shall go to forever be with your Lord. Take warning, if you are not a Christian. Yes, the midnight hour is upon you also, the hour of God's terrible judgment, if you are not His child. It will be the hour of fate and doom for all those who are not saved by the blood of Christ. The King is coming. The hour, midnight, is about to strike, the hour of your judgment. It shall be returned to you. The measure you gave is the measure you shall receive. The seed you have sown shall now bear its full harvest. 2 Peter 3 and 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Cry for the rocks to hide you from the wrath of your King, for the King is your judge. He will punish your wickedness and disclose your hypocrisy. Revelation 6:16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hideth from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The blood of Christ is the only way that you can be saved. You hold on just a minute, you say, you are not wicked, you are a good person. However, you have despised the blood of Jesus Christ and counted it an unholy thing when you rejected his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. But the Lord is merciful. Confess to him that you are sorry for the life you've been living and ask him to forgive you. Tell him that by faith you believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again after 3 days. By accepting his great sacrifice on the cross, you are assured of heaven, of forgiveness for your sins, and now have a place in heaven. The King is coming. It is almost the midnight hour. Are you ready to meet your King? Matthew 25:6-13. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for you and I. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Again, that's Matthew 25:6-13. Today is the day of salvation. Luke 13:3-5, Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And in John 8:24, and it's read, Jesus said, and I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And there's many things that Jesus in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are written and read, and those are the words of Jesus. The rest of them are too, but these here are things that he told the disciples, and he's telling you. Matthew 24 is the end time chapter. Share it with your friends, and we use it a lot here on our broadcast, but read it, think about it, because this is the way it's going to be. May God bless you. Here's Brother Earl.
Amen. Friends, we are living today in the times that Jesus spoke of many long years ago, at least almost 2,000 years ago. He spoke about the things that we're seeing happening right now around the world. And these things are happening to bring forth in the prophecy that has been spoken of by the prophets of old and there of Jesus himself and the apostles. It's going to be fulfilled, my friend. There's many of them that has already been fulfilled. We'll know that when Jesus told the apostles there, when they was there at Solomon's temple, and they come out marveling about the way it was constructed and how beautiful it was, and he said, take heed unto yourself there. He said, because there going to come a time that when one stone won't be left upon another. That was happening in 70 A.D. when Tiberius, the Roman soldier, went in there and they destroyed it. My friend, we're living now in perilous times. We're living in the days that Matthew wrote about and Mark and Luke wrote about. And we've come on down to the place that we're in that we're seeing these things happen. And Jesus said, the generation that sees these things come to pass will not pass away until all things be fulfilled. My friend, I'm past I'm 84 years old, but I believe my God is able to sustain me. Caleb was 85 years old, and he said, give me my mountain, And Joshua asked him, was he able? He said, I'm still able. Well, I'm able by the grace of God, as you would be if you depend upon him. And I'm telling you, my friends, it's got to be that we're in, that we submit ourselves to him, presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, and become a lively stone that God would put us into the body, which in it he calls his church, him being the head. You don't belong, you don't join it. You belong to it, but through the new birth. So be wise enough that you can understand by the reading of your word. When he told Nicodemus that he must be born again, that doesn't give you the privilege to go join any denomination and you say you on your way, because they claim they're the only church that's going to make it into the kingdom. That's not right. There's false teachings, my friend. The only way into the kingdom of God is through Jesus Christ, because he's the door. You got to be born again. You got to be godly sorrow. Ask God to forgive you of your sins and repent and turn aside from the sins and look and seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart. My friend, it's the only way you're going to make it. You can't get there through some other way. And they teaching you to pray to this and pray to that and one thing or another, a Buddha and Allah and whatever else them other gods are and everything. And even kissing the Pope's ring and praying to Mary and all the saints and everything. All of these things they do is futile. It's completely against God's teaching. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. That's what the Lord said when the devil tried to tell him, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you'll just bow down and worship me. Jesus didn't say it was not his to give, but he said, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. My friend, it's come to the time the devil can quote you scripture. He can come and transform himself as an angel of light, but inward he's a ravaging wolf, as in sheep's clothing. My friends, his preachers, his ministers is capable of bringing in these things and in an angel of light, telling you good things. But pay attention to what they're saying. Read your Bible and find out if what they're saying compares to the Bible and not some little thing that they got in there that you can catch him on. Ask God to give you the understanding. Ask him to give you the discernment of the Spirit. Born again, and you can have the things at which in is wrote in the Bible and know whether it's right or wrong. God is not going to be mocked, my friend. He's going to bring judgment upon on the sinner and the ungodly, and he's going to put it down. Matthew 24 tells us about these things that are happening. We look into Mark in the 16th chapter of Mark, and we find the same thing, or the 13th chapter of Mark, rather, and we find him going back again that he wrote the same thing, and we go over there into Luke, and we find that the same things there about the 18th chapter of Luke, we'll find the same things. He may have put a different word of this or that, but it means the same thing, and it's always comparison to it. But we go over to 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy 3, and we look into it, and he said there, thus know also in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incompetent, fierce, despising of those that are good, traditionally headed, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort they are, which creep into houses and led captive silly women laden with sin, leading away with diverse lust, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. We're living in those days, my friend. As I said a little bit ago there, you can, most any time you can turn on the news any given day and find where somebody's went in it for no reason at all, hardly, that they've killed somebody. They raping and killing and carrying on and stealing and causing all kind of havoc across the land. It's because the enemy is out as a roaring lion seeking that he may devour. And his boy, the devil's imps is out ramming it around. They're in people. They've been got into them so bad until they want to do all these things that the Bible speaks about, killing people for no reason at all. And some of them says they got a reason, to stand your ground thing, you know, and they call up on that to stand your ground. And they say, well, I was afeard for my life. And the probably chances are he was out in a place where he had no business being, and he wouldn't, if he hadn't been there, he wouldn't have had no fear about him. But they go into places and then they shoot somebody. Well, I was afeard for my life, so on and so forth. My friend, he's going to be held accountable. If the courts of the land don't judge him and put him away, then God's going to judge him for murder and killing and everything, because he allowed the devil to get into him and cause him to do these things. God's going to be the righteous judge. He's going to judge it all, as he did in Sodom and Gomorrah. He judged that spirit that was in them, and he destroyed them. I'm not your judge. I am not going to judge you, but the living God is going to bring forth all nations, all men, up before him, and a judgment that's going to come. And we're going to be judged of the things we've done in this life. And when he opens up the book and we see there, we judged out of that. Then when he opens up the Lamb's Book of Life, and your name is not in there, my friend, as well as if mine's not there, we're going to be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I don't have to judge you. God's got the right to judge you, not me. You can judge me if you want to, but when it comes by the same judgment that you judge me with, or that I should judge you with, I'm going to be judged by the same thing. I don't want to judge you. I want you to join with me into the kingdom of God. I want us both to hear the Lord say, welcome in, my faithful servant, a crown of life you won. I don't want you to be cast into outer darkness. That's why I try to preach the truth, my friend. I'm not after your money. I'm after your soul for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. For the kingdom of God. Because money is not going to buy your way into the kingdom. There's a lot of these televangelists, these filthy rich, got millions, they tell me, and everything. But if they thinking that that's going to be the way out, they're wrong. Because the Bible speaks about that they will throw their wealth or their money into the holes with the bats and cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them. So, my friend, you give to them people all you want to. But in the end, if you think that's going to come and be a memorial to you and God's going to bless you for it, you better think again. You may be casting all of your wealth into the outer darkness, and where there that you will be. Where your treasure is, there where you will be also. I want you to build up the treasures in heaven. I want you to send up good gifts to God with praise from the calves of your lip, of true worship and of God, giving honor to him who is deserved to be honored, worshiping him in spirit and in truth, in holiness, giving honor to whom honor is due. The King of kings and the Lord of lords is the only hope that we have, my friend, is in Christ Jesus. The money and all these things is not going to be any good at that time. Whatever kind of mansion you may have, or whatever wealth you've got in the bank and stored up for this and that, in the stock market and whatever else, it's all going to be done away with. It'll melt with fervent heat, as Peter says, that when the heavens will even pass away with a loud racket, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, then where's all of your wealth and all of your tangible things going to be? It is not going to help you much. Only what's done for God, with the worship, being born again, is going to give you access into the kingdom of God through the door, Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the only hope that you and I have got. It's the only hope anyone's got. Even to anyone that's doing opposite from what they are supposed to do, has got no hope. False teachers has come along. They was in the days of the apostles, and we was warned by them. Then they're here today. Many of them stand behind the pulpit in wolves and sheep clothing, leading people astray, and they're coming forth there, telling them that I've got a better revelation than any of the apostles ever had, and everything. It's a lie out of hell, and the devil's the father of it, because it's not, no revelation of anything of God's word has been given since Paul was given the revelation of grace through him to the Gentile church, and John was given the revelation of Jesus Christ unto the world to warn them about the things that yet to come. And there's not been no revelation greater than that, my friend. Everyone who says he is, he's a liar and the truth ain't in him. He's a descendant of the devil. The devil's in him and made him lie. But he can get forgiveness if he will admit that he's wrong and the only truth is in Christ Jesus and become a servant of God instead of the servant of the man. There's many people today that running up and down the road seeking after the pleasures of life. They'll go for thousands of miles or spend thousands of dollars to go to some kind of resort somewhere or another to please the flesh or whatever it might be for pleasure and these things that won't even go a mile down the road to the place to where he can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached in the truth. They don't want it. They've turned their deaf ear to the truth. And they seek after pleasures more than anything else, as the Bible said, seeking after pleasures or become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We've got the churches even, instead of going out into the world and preaching the gospel, they let the world come in and dictate to them what they should do and what they shouldn't do. They'll go and close up the sanctuary on Sunday night to where the majority of the people go and set up to the ball games and one thing or another. And they watch all these things because it pleases the flesh, watch racing in one thing or another, whatever it is, and everything, and they turn aside from the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ in order to do these things. They're going to be held accountable for it, my friend. There's people in this world that's going to be in the kingdom of God, which shuns those things and turns aside from it. He said that, come out from among the world and be you therefore separated, saith the Lord, and I'll receive you. As my wife was speaking a while ago, the high priest and them in the synagogues, and when Jesus was there, they even spoke to him there. The high priest him said, when the Messiah comes, he will lead us and teach us all things, truth. And Jesus told the priest and them of thy synagogue that day, he said, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And he told them there, you can take this sepulcher out in the graveyard, in other words. You can whitewash the outward appearance, but inside is dead man's bone. And they knew that he was talking about them. I've been kind of shunned about because I made mention of that scripture. Except you believe that Jesus told that I am he, you will die in your sin. We don't gonna have that. We don't want it. We ain't gonna have it. Well, my friend, I done just what the Lord told me to do. I left it. I went forth. And therefore, if you can't, as Paul went to the Jewish people there and preached them Jesus Christ and him crucified, and they shunned him back and didn't want to hear it. He said, he rent his clothes and he said, you count yourself unworthy to hear the truth. In other words, then I go to the Gentiles. That's what he was supposed to do anyhow. But Peter had to go to Cornelius and open the door before he could go and fulfill what Jesus had told Ananias that he called him to do. And he went to the Gentile. He preached to them Jesus Christ and him crucified. He laid the foundation there, my friends, for it to build upon. And you build upon it with sand and not on the foundation, your house is going to tumble down. But if you build upon the foundation there with goodly things and all, then it's going to stand when the time of trouble comes. The trials of life is going to come about one of these days, and there's where the test is going to come. When some of these people have faced up with things that they've got it all, they think. Laodicean church said, we're rich, we don't need anything, and that's where we're at today pretty much, that we come along. Thyatira went with the old Jezebel teaching that she taught there, Ahab's wife. But now we know that she got killed or thrown out of the window and hit the ground and the dogs eat her up, except her head and her feet, or hands rather, because they didn't want that old stuff that she had painted all over, I guess. But nevertheless, we need to understand that Jesus is our only hope. Mary is just a vehicle that God used, the womb of a virgin girl that was in the lineage of David to come into this world as a man And therefore, it was because that was the way he wanted it done. But Mary is not deity. You shouldn't pray to her. You've got to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Through him is our only hope. And we pray to him because he's the only mediator between us and the Heavenly Father. Mary is not. The Pope ain't. I'm not. We can only pray and ask God to forgive us of our sins in the name of Jesus. Any other name is completely futile. It's useless. Any other name you call upon this for salvation is just not going to make it, my friend. Believe me, read your word, read the Bible and find out who is the one that you can depend upon. Mary is dead and in a grave. Her body is turned back to the dust of the earth. One day she'll come forth and therefore, but that's got to be at the time of the coming of the Son of God into the clouds of glory, when the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then them that remain to be alive shall be changed, and they shall be caught up together. The corruption in the grave is going to turn into incorruption, and the mortal is going to turn into immortality, and there we will be with the Lord. My friends, it's the only way it's going to happen. Ain't no other way you're going to make it except through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And there's the only door into the kingdom is Jesus Christ. So why worry about this Catholicism and these false teachers telling you can pray to this one and pray to that one. Get forgiveness of your sin because a mere man tells you, say so many prayers to this and that and one thing and another. You need to pray that prayer of repentance unto God himself in the spirit of truth, being godly sorrow of your sins, and ask God to forgive you. He's faithful and will, but you got to ask him. Asked Mary to forgive you of your sins and pray for you. That's not going to do you no good, because the dead knoweth nothing, my friend. Neither can they say anything. That would be just about as useless as jumping out there in the mid-space with nothing. My friend, it's just not right. False teachings and false doctrine has filled the church world today with all the rot gut stuff and false teachings and all these things. Many of them come and said they've done this and done that and one thing or another has gone by the wayside simply because they failed to give God the praise and the glory for whatever that God allowed him to do. My friend, I can't do nothing. Neither can you do anything without Jesus Christ. Without him, we can do nothing. When we begin to understand these things and know by reading the word of God, then we know that with him all things are possible. It's not with you and I, but through him, by enabling you to do that which seems to be impossible. If you give him the praise and the glory for it, he'll use you from time to time, but it's nothing for you to boast on yourself of what you've done. Give him the praise and the glory. I do it all the time. I thank God for the ability that I have, that I can do what I can do, whether it's in the natural sense of, you might say, or preaching the word of God. It all belongs to praise and honor belongs to him, not me. I'm nothing but a man, just like anybody else is. David penned there one time. He said, I'm just a worm. The earth is my mother and my sister. And I often say, Lord, I'm just a worm on your footstool, because the heavens is his throne and the earth is his footstool. Be careful where you put your foot. I'm down here, crawling around upon your footstool. Be careful, Father, for I seek after you. I look to you. And he's merciful. He's been so merciful to me that I can't even begin to touch all of the blessings that he's bestowed upon me. It's been so many of them. But I praise him for it and I thank him for it. All the days of my life. Have I been a Christian all the days of my life? No. But since I've become one, I give him the praise for keeping me in the days of when they were dark and gloomy, because he had to keep me. Otherwise, if the devil had been able to have done it, he would have destroyed me while I was in my worst sin. But God was merciful and he kept me and protected me even though I was in my sins. He watched over me till he brought to the point there where he come to the place that I had to make a decision, my friend. And when that time come, that I decided that the decision had to be right, and I chose to serve my God. And that makes a world of difference. It separated me from the things that I used to do and made me a new creature in Christ. I had many of my friends that used to pal around with, and we done some things that wasn't kosher, you might say. But anything, when I quit doing these things and piling around with them into the things of that, and they asked me, he says, "What happened? Why you don't do these things anymore?" And I said, "Jesus made a difference in my life, friend, and he will yours also. But you got to let him. You got to let him do it. You can't yourself. You can't buy your way into the kingdom, and you can't pay for your sins by good works and everything. You're going to have to ask him to forgive you, and through the things that he will allow you to do that would bring forth truth and into you, and the good works that he will allow you to do is going to be accountable to you. All that other stuff is not going to get you into the kingdom of God. Being faithful is going to be. Being obedient to him is on you, and it's on me. We got to do these things. The Lord spoke to the children of Israel and told them that if they would keep his commandments and do what he asked them to do, in other words, and follow him, he would bring them into the land that flowed with milk and honey. But a lot of people will say, or they get down and out or whatever may be the case, and they'll say, "Lord, if you'll do so and so, I'll do such and such." No, you can't bargain with God no such a way as that. One man tried to say, God told him that if he didn't get about $8 million and everything, if he didn't get that, he's going to take him on to glory. Well, I don't know if he went to glory or not, but he's gone. He got the $8 million, but it was falsified. He accused the God of being an extortionist, that a man that run a thing that drawed people away from God and the races and things of that nature, gave him the money, but he about lost his old self on account of it, because his people that was ahead of him gave him up the country. But I want you to think about it, my friend. Only hope that we have is in Christ Jesus. The only way into the kingdom of God is through the door. Jesus said, "I am the door. I am the truth. I am the light. I am the way, the truth, and the life." There's no other way you can get there. So this here business, following in with any other doctrine, any other thing says you can do this and do that, put it aside. Run from it. Because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. The broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many travel thereon, but the straight and narrow way. Straight is the way, narrow is the gate, and few that find it." I hope that you will be one of the few that will find that straight and narrow way. Jesus is the only way. He is the only way. If you follow some of these false teachings and doctrines of this and that and one thing or another and tell you that they are somebody special, the God on earth, and they are the Father, and all this kind of stuff, you follow after that, and you're going to be thrown into hell with them, because that's what's going to happen to them by trying to take their place on earth as a God or as a son of God. There was only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We're baptized into one body. And if you will find out, the scriptures will teach you that Jesus Christ is the only name given among man whereby that we can be saved. Baptizing in his name and not titles, as the Catholicism teaches. He had to be in the name of Jesus. People said Peter lied. He didn't know what he said. No, my friend, if you said that, you're the one that lied. Peter didn't. He knowed exactly what he was talking about when he said that. To repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He knew exactly what he was talking about. He didn't have to lie. The Holy Ghost had gave him the authority to do that. God himself and Jesus there walked among them. God in the flesh walked among them 12 men. One of them, he said, "Have not I chose you 12, but one of you is a devil?" He was speaking about Judas. But later on, they got another man to take his place. But I want you to know, Judas found his place to wherever that was at. I'm not his judge. But the Bible says that he's son of perdition. He went to his own place. So wherever that's at, and I don't think it was in the paradise of God, though. But nevertheless, We got to understand that man's foolishness will get him cast into outer darkness. Man's false believing and false teaching will lead many down the road of destruction. Read your Bible, my friend. Follow into the teachings that which in the apostles taught, what God taught them. They wrote the book, and there's no other revelation going to be given to you except that which is in the Bible. And you can bank on it. You can put it in your bank and depend upon it. You can trust in the Word of God. You can be fully persuaded through the Word of God that Jesus Christ came into this world to die for sinners such as you and I. I, my friend, it was God manifested in the flesh, the just for the unjust. They found no fault in him, but yet the high priest and all of them hollered, crucify him. And they crucified him. But he died for the purpose, and it was in the mind of the Father in heaven that this had to be from the foundation of the world, that he would come forth and be the sacrificial lamb, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, to die for yours and my sin, because Adam put us in a curse upon us there, with born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and that had to come forth something that was pure, without any spot or blemish, without any sin, that which was perfect, and it was only because Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh. You can't hang a spirit on a cross of no kind. You can't even see it, my friend. But God manifested himself. He became flesh that he could come and die for you and I, that our sins could be blotted out by that precious blood of Jesus. And that's the only way you and I is going to have any hope of eternal life with him, is through the cross of Calvary, through the blood that was shed there, the man called Jesus that died for yours and my sin. Read your Bible, my friend. Read it and find out. Ask God to give you some understanding of it. You don't need a doctor's degree to understand the Word of God. All you need is to ask God, and he will give it to you. He will help you. He will open your understanding if you'll ask him. You don't need 4 or 5 degrees hanging on your wall like some of these preachers do, Dr. So-and-so and this and that and so on and so forth. My friend, I got just about a 7th grade education, but just enough that I know that God is real. Enough to know that I can do nothing without him, and through him, yet all with him, all things are possible. And I can do all things by him that anoints me and keeps me, and keeps me by his grace. That's the only hope that I have, not of this world and the things of it. I've got some material things, but that's not my love. My love is toward Jesus Christ, because he first loved me. The things that I have are the material things, is things that God's blessed me with that I can use in this world. But when this old world teeter-tottering like it is, and it down and out, them things are going to go with it. But I want to be called up. And when he says, come up here, and I can hear that sound of that trumpet and hear the voice of my Savior saying, come up here. And it ain't there. It's not the church that some people believe, that John was the church in 4th chapter of Revelation. John was to write to the church and tell them about the things that they were guilty of. And therefore, he told them and warned them all that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit hath to say. John was released from the Isle of Patmos after he wrote the book of Revelation and was brought back to the mainland and died. My friend, this world is going to be done away with. And John recorded there that he seen that new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, adorned for her bride, for her groom. My friends, this old earth as we presently know it is going to be done away with. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. All sin and iniquities and all ungodliness is going to be cast into hell. Be warned, God is not mocked. What a man sows, that so shall he reap. So sow the seed of righteousness into the kingdom of God, and there your heart may be also. May God richly bless you and keep you right to us, if you will. We appreciate those that have wrote to us. May God bless you, and we keep you in our prayers that God will supply and meet your needs spiritually, physically, and financially. Until next time, God keep you, and bless you according to his riches in glory, and according to your faith be it unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
Take a little time in the morning, and you'll feel better all day. Take a little time for Jesus to get down on your knees and pray. He took the time to die on the cross, so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Sometime you may be in a hurry. You have so many things to do. But don't forget about Jesus. Remember, he didn't forget about you. He took the time to die on the cross, so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. Email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we take time for Jesus.